Mike, you want to share my cubicle?
No, that's fine.
Wow.
What, I mean, just 30 seconds. I'm sorry, Mike, but the meeting that we had with you, each of us, what have you done with that information? What are you doing with it? I'll ask the generic question.
What was nice is that, when we meet individually with folks, we tend to get kind of an unvarnished perspective as to what the priorities and goals and issues are. Each one of those comments and conversations may have an effect on how we would frame text within the chapter, and we want to talk about that. So as we get to each of those elements, if someone, for example, wanted to talk about buffers, we have some insight as to what maybe some opinions are in council as to how that can be handled within the plan. We will maybe do some research ahead of that workshop, look at how that can be discussed, bring some information to council's attention, and then talk about how that could affect the chapter if so desired.
Because you have the information from each of us, none of us have the information that the others had given to you. You are the only one that has all the information from all five of us. So I guess as we move forward and you have the bullet points of each of the conversations we've had with you, will you let us know in advance, i.e., based on what's already been drafted, based on the conversations you've had, hey, there appears to be an element of something that we need to consider adjusting here based on the input that I've received from each of you. Is that what you're envisioning?
Isn't that what's on the screen?
That is what's on the screen. This is just a bulleted list, high-level list of the key topics that did come up. I would say it's pretty encompassing. I don't think there were too many diverging issues that were part of our conversations. A lot of folks wanted to talk about development. A lot of folks wanted to talk about density, mobility, agricultural industries, and what that looks like. So the list is, I would say, to be fairly comprehensive. We can then use that, any of the detail or minutia that was part of that discussion, to talk about, well, what does that look like for the plan, and then present that to council. And yes, we can provide that as kind of a one-week look ahead. If everyone is going home to read the next chapter on the list, that could be the homework that people are assigned to maybe think about when they're looking at that chapter. What was said during those discussions in terms of priorities, and does it make sense? Okay, so we have a quick discussion first. Cormac Taylor will provide on the population element, and it will be followed by a presentation by the Delaware Population Consortium. There has been a lot of back and forth as to what the future population in Sussex looks like and where those populations will be coming from. As was expressed earlier today during the public comment portion, we do recognize that the population here is aging. This could be due to a variety of factors. It could be due to Sussex's low taxes. Folks want to retire near a place that has amenities such as beaches, or quiet farmsteads, not want to pay a lot for more land in terms of taxes. So that's all one factor. There's other factors too. Folks that may be growing up here aren't necessarily staying after they finish their education. They may go where jobs are. So we can talk about population, but it does set up, I guess, it frames the conversation for how we are handling different elements in the plan. The total population that will be projected will determine how that future land use map comes together. Number of dwelling units that we're projecting, where they can be situated, and how they can be supported. So this is important. We updated the table that you see here on the slide based on numbers that were recently provided by the Delaware Population Consortium. We're estimating that about a third of the county population is seasonal. Those seasons are getting longer. People are not just arriving between Memorial Day and Labor Day. They are arriving before and they're staying after. We're also anticipating that total population within the county will increase by close to 70,000 people by the year 2040. So the question is, where do those folks go? We wanted to develop a metric in terms of projecting future growth. And there was discrepancy between what the population consortium numbers are estimating for seasonal visitors versus what maybe some folks here on the ground are seeing for, I guess, experiential visitors, the number of cars on the highway, the number of rental units that are being utilized during the season, and the number of people utilizing those rental units. So we came up with, I guess, a compromise.
John, just before we go, let me just interject one thing on this. This, back to this discussion council had, this was an issue that the commission really paid a lot of attention to. If you look at the 08 plan, there really wasn't much at all in that plan that dealt with seasonal or second homes or, you know, vacationers, transient people. And the commission was really concerned about that. Because that affected, as John said, future land use and the need for future housing stock, but it also affected utilities. It affected mobility. You know, people who may not live here still use the roads. You know, that type of thing. And I would say this was one of a handful of issues that really got a lot of attention from the commission, and a lot of work went into it. And we actually had, as John I think is going to say. We had between McCormick and Taylor and the other two population folks, we had different ways of getting to numbers, but we all realized that we had to come to a more realistic number of people that are here in Sussex County. Also recognizing, I think the commission felt like, you know, it's not, and I know all five of you all know, it's not a 2 or 3 month season anymore either, you know, that those second homes and vacationers and renters, et cetera, they're here, you know, now 6 to 8 months a year. So this was one of those that got a lot of scrutiny from the commission, and I think it's a real improvement over the 08 plan, because the 08 plan just strictly talked about population, and population is really a base number, and you've got to add to that to come up with a real number. So thanks, John.
And John, I'm assuming that there was an agreement, right, with that planning and zoning, the two other population studies, everybody agreed to a definition of the population number.
Yes.
And that's the blue.
Yes. So just to break this down, the population consortium estimates, you know, based on number of full-time residents and previous year's growth and projections for future growth, what the change might be between the years 2010, 2015, 2020. We are looking out to 2040 and 2045 as part of this plan because of the time horizon. It is, a comprehensive plan is supposed to set a vision for the future. It just gets updated every 10 years, but we look past that. So these population numbers are a tool that we use to come up with what that looks like. Another firm was hired who dove into the seasonal population projections and argued that those numbers should be much higher. So what commissioners did for planning and zoning was they looked at the largest rental companies in the communities in the area, and they tried to get a handle on the number of units that were available. And they applied a metric of 2.5 people per dwelling unit, which is the average of the dwelling units across the county, and they use that metric as a way of predicting what number of seasonal visitors the county actually has been accommodating and could be accommodating. So we took that information, that 2.5 multiplier, against all of the rental properties that exist and came up with the number and added that to the population consortium projections and have this mixed total, which you see here on the right. So, for example, if we're looking at full-time from the official consortium numbers on the left column there, 215,622, we add that blended seasonal number to it. We then would come up with a new total of 310,000 for 2010. That would then be projected to be a total of 382 in the year 2045. So it's a number the commission members felt comfortable with. They noted that that would be a difference in population of 78,000 people, and that was something that they felt would make a strong argument for how that future land use plan would be framed out based on the number of dwelling units and the amount of infrastructure that needed to be there to support it.
And I would just add, this is a good example, Mr. Cole, if you look at page 4 of the population section of the plan, mm-hmm. that's an example where the commission wanted to include the information from Robert Siegel and Associates, as well as the Delaware Population Consortium, because one of the things we need to keep in mind is the Population Consortium figures we have to use by code, so we have to do those, but we didn't want to ignore the Siegel information, and so it explains that, and then it talks about, well, we looked at both the numbers, and then there's the 15% multiplier that went in there. But that, to your point, that sort of showed the majority and minority viewpoints and explained it in the text.
Okay. On definitions, as IG was talking about, seasonal residence. Give me a definition. Is that a guy here for the weekend in a motel?
It's not full-time. So there could be a seasonal resident that's here part of the year, but not all of the year.
But okay, a couple come down and stay in a motel. Do they get counted in this? In the summertime,
that's the
would
guy.
You say?
That's the guy who used the highway.
Ed Rutledge is here from the Delaware Population Consortium. Okay. He's going to give a presentation a little bit. I know when the the county asked the population through DelDOT to actually address seasonal numbers, and what they have done is looked at certain things. They will continue to refine that number as additional information is available over the years, but since we had a short time frame to get that information, they were still working on like the day trippers and the weekend trippers, the people who are just coming down for the day or coming for the weekend. But what we looked at was the houses, the actual physical houses and not the motels, which hopefully we will be incorporating in the future.
Because you hear those numbers from the Chamber of Commerce, sometimes we get like we get 5 million visitors. And then I'm looking down here, we get 121 or 120, you know what I'm or saying. I know I got a couple rental properties. And I may rent to 2.5 people, but 8 may show up. you know, so it's hard all to calculate that. So I'm just trying to get, like, definitions on this seasonal resident. What is that? I mean, I know a person who owns a second home here, that is a good seasonal rental, or I mean, say seasonal renter, and maybe they don't rent their property versus truly rental properties that just, you know, they bought them to rent to because of the location and all this other stuff. Anyway, it seems like there's a big difference between 5 million and what we're saying here.
Are you
5
saying
5 million is not on one day, is it? This is
that's over the season.
That's over the season.
So
this one day?
No, this is an average.
Yeah.
For one day?
No, it's an average
for the year.
Right.
So 5 million for a year versus, anyway, I'm just.
Are you saying, Janelle, that we're going to see other data on population that's coming to us?
Not as part of this plan, because the Population Consortium adopted the numbers. Now, the numbers need to be updated in this plan because they just adopted those in the end of October. But every year, the Population Consortium looks at population numbers. And now they will be annually looking at seasonal numbers. So that information and that data will get refined and more accurate as the years progress, as there's additional information and data is to determine the seasonal numbers.
I think the definition of seasonal is what...
Yeah, that's what I'm just... We're just
trying to get at. Is it a weekly guy? Or is it a guy that bought a second home?
And again, it can be both, but for right now, it is just those second homes. For our data, it is the second home data because we don't have all of the information to go, how many hotel rooms, how many campgrounds. You know, I know the consortium is looking at trying to get that information to project in the future, but with the short time frame, there wasn't enough time to do all of that research to get that information because we have a lot of that down here. And again, they're not just looking at Sussex County, they're looking at the state whole in its entirety, so they are also looking at the other two counties to do seasonal projections. So trying to get all of that information to provide accurate information, it will get better as the years go on, but we have based right now on the second homes, which means you're not a full-time resident, and that comes from a multiple different sources as to what determines what a full-time resident is.
Are we going to be able to fill this gap? Because I think this is a significant issue. If we're not looking at hotels, motels, second home, rentals, all this is primary, secondary, I'm going to call it a dwelling, a house. We're not taking, and then let's not even count the people that come and don't stay, but they're still coming, they're on the roads, they're in our hospitals, they're using our paramedics. How are we going to fill that gap?
Again, I think that's why we ended up with the projection going 15% over. So we recognize that the number is larger, but we have to start with the population consortium numbers per the state code. We recognize that, and again, the numbers actually from what are currently in the plan actually increased from what the original projections from the population consortium to what they are today when they were adopted in October. So those numbers actually increased slightly. And then, again, we recognize that the seasonal number, it will be 15. We're looking at projecting 15% over. And again, as we go forward, you know, we'll get additional information. Because, again, this is the first time the consortium has ever attempted seasonal numbers. It's the first time the county has ever looked at seasonal numbers. So
here's the dilemma. I got, like, a townhouse, and you've attributed, or not you, but somebody's attributed 2.5 people for my townhouse, okay? In actuality, it sleeps eight, and it's rented all summer, so there's 80 people. So it's calculated for 2.5, and actually 80 people have been in that unit. Now, there's also in North Bethany Homes that sleep, you know, 12, 15 people. So you multiply that out. Anyway, so that's what I'm saying. These numbers, I think, are...
Just real quick, Mr. Cole, Mr. President,
yeah.
They talked about that. The Planning and Zoning Commission, this is on page 3, the Delaware Population Consortium prepared seasonal population projections for Sussex County, which is table 2.1-5, and that assumes an 80% occupancy and 3.3 persons per seasonal household. So there was a little bit of a bump, but that may be an issue where,
yeah,
when we talk to, yeah, you know, or talk through this.
Well, as long as we're aware of it, I think, yeah, we all are aware of it after this conversation, that maybe those numbers aren't, this is what we got to work with, but really they're not a true indicator of.
Yeah, and I would say the commission's approach, they didn't get too bogged down in what was seasonal or defining that. It was really the big eye opener that, you know, to use Mr. Burden's term, that guy had never been counted at all before, you know, and we really just needed to start counting those folks. And so that's why we really just dug into it. Mm-hmm. There's a whole group of people that had not been taken into account in our 08 plan, and that drives everything, you know, so.
Okay.
If I may.
Sure, Mr. Burden.
Are we counting, and we'll get a thing for Mr. Ratcliffe, I'm sure, but you know, we on the maps that you supply us, you have those pink areas of future approved developments, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the rate of sale of those future I mean, they didn't get a subdivision not to sell the lot, right? And the home, is that in the calculation that you got a half? You got a coastal club that has sold 25% of it, but not 75%. Are we counting the 75%. Unsold, the pink?
We provide as an update to the consortium, and we also look at other. We also work with DelDOT to do population information as well. The number of housing units we have available, the number of lots that are available. We also look at, you know, economic. You know, who are our biggest employees to provide that information. So that helps identify how many houses we have, how many vacant lots we have, what we have coming through the pipeline to help determine the projection for the population.
Okay, so those are, I guess I'm assuming in 10 years all of those blank subdivisions are going to be sold. I mean, right, if I was a developer, that's what I'd want, right? So are the numbers assuming that too?
Excuse me. I could not answer that question. Okay. I know it takes into account the number of lots, and again, they're looking at who's living here now, how much availability there is, and there's a number of factors that go into, it's not just one thing, it's not two things, it's a number of factors that go into determining the projections for the population.
Okay. Thank you. Well, and I'm sure we'll hear from Mr. Ratcliffe on that.
Mr. Wilson.
Watch your tongue.
Well, I'm listening to all this. What difference does it make how many people lose the house? If there's two or two and a half or a dozen, we only get money from the people, from the houses, from the taxes that pays for this, right? How many rural taxes? We only get money
for one house.
For one house, dude.
Correct.
They get taxed on them, right?
I think they're, I think the concern
so what
is
difference does it really make?
I think the concern traffic. Is about number of people as far as traffic, roads, that kind
sewers.
Of stuff.
EMS. Demand for services, costs.
Well, I understand the highway puts markers across the road, lets us know how many people's coming in. They're doing the count, so why are we counting this anyway?
But they're counting the vehicles, not the people in the vehicles.
Well, it sounds like we're not very accurate anyway, what we're doing.
Well, we might not be, but we're trying to get better at it.
All right, we're going.
We're trying to be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Watch your time.
Yeah. I'm here for it. We're working on the population demographics thing. You're 10 minutes in his presentation, so.
Yes, so I think it might be a good opportunity for us to invite Mr. Ratledge up for the consortium.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Like I'm walking into a lion's den.
Oh, no, come on down.
I'll warn you, though, I just spent 15 years down on Adams Street, this place, so I know people around this neck of the woods.
There you go.
Yeah, so.
You got friends, huh?
I mean, some of the problems that you're already talking about are very difficult, and what we will not make up a number, okay? So we go back to the literature. You see surveys that have been done in upper state of Michigan and Florida, another place where they actually go out to knock doors when people are there and find out how many of them are there. And they're not looking about just at one point in time. They want to know who's there all week. So it's only partially occupied. It might have six people there on the weekend, but it may have two on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So you get that kind of operation. Plus the fact that about 20% of the people never rent their home at all. And then it's a lot of them also only partially rent them. So all of those factors somehow have to wind up there. And they can't, there absolutely are people that have 6, 8, 10, 12. Because I've been, as a college student, I was down here at places like that, probably against the fire code too. So in any event, these are the problems that you're struggling with are statewide, by the way, and not just here. And I'm going to go through, just show you a number of charts, basically, that will probably drive you nuts. But if I'm starting to do that, tell me to leave, okay? All right, let's go with the first one. Here we're showing you basically what the population of Sussex County and the other counties have, how they've grown since 1790. And you'll see that basically the curves right now have started to flatten out a bit, and you can see the red line, which is Sussex County, and this is full-time resident population according to the Census Bureau, okay? And then we project based upon that for the full-time residential, and then the seasonal is additive. And just to put another thing on there, we're in the field right now. We've digitized every single motel, hotel, campgrounds, RV centers, and whatever in the place. Our problem now is basically to find out how many units are in each one of those, and we've got that about half done. That's a little bit, because they won't tell you on the telephone a lot of times, so it ends up being a fairly expensive process of going around and finding out or looking at them and doing an estimate or looking at the assessment files, looking at square footage and things of that nature. So in order to kind of come up with a total number of rooms and what a probable occupancy is in order to get to that group. As far as the day trippers go, we have trip counter data from crossing every border coming into Sussex County. We can get it at the beginning of Route 1. We can get it as it crosses the bridge, the line over to Maryland, down to Salisbury, and then across there to the start at 5, what is it, 5?
Five points.
Okay. See, you've already got me worked up. Down to 5 points, and so we'll get a series of these over a 12-month period, and then see what they look like at various times of the day, knowing the patterns of those, and see how much they vary by the our primary period, which is June through the end of August. And I recognize that if the season gets a little longer, because I'm down here quite a bit speaking during the in the fall. So we'll look at all of those things. We have no idea what would come out because the leakages that you get down to Ocean City are substantial. And so we have to kind of work through those problems. And for us, it's just a technical problem. We're working through that as we go. We first had to find out who they were and where they're located, and then we'll put that number on there, what their capacity is. And once we have that, we'll have at least a starting point to make an estimate for the day trippers and the people who are staying over for a weekend or whatever. So having done that, that's what that thinks. It looks like you really have come up and whipped Kent County after struggling with that for nearly 200 years, and it's moving ahead. Go ahead, next slide. This is one of our key things, and it's really important for Sussex County, because Sussex County dominates in the net in migration numbers, which is a light green number that's up there. That shows you the number of people in a given year. So for example, let's take 2005, which is the peak of the before the bust came of the housing balloon. So you've got there 10,000 people net migrated into the state of Delaware during that period of time. And you can see the total was up around 14,000. Now, what happened in 2008 when the bottom fell out, and as you can see on as it proceeds downward there, you blew most of that away. The migration stopped. New Jersey changed their laws and their property taxes and other things, and those things changed. So you've seen then that started to recover to some degree on the green line, and so right now it's staying still below where it was in 2005. I don't see a return to that level for a whole series of reasons. The red line is probably more important perhaps for you, but that's what we call the natural increase. It's births minus deaths, okay? And as you can see, which direction that has, it's sliding down because there's more deaths because of age distribution. That's statewide, it's not just in Sussex County, and we expect that to continue at least till 2045. Now, Sussex County, this is what your curve looks like. You don't grow an ounce if you don't have net in migration. That's what the green line is basically telling you on that chart. And you can see even now the green line at the top, which was up close to 5,000 this last at the last check, was is above what the total increase was. And that is because you have the red line again at the bottom, and where is it going? It's going down. You're already negative. You have negative deaths over births. So you've got that is a long-term trend. It's that will eventually reach about 1,700 a year that you lose. And so you have to think about replacing people to keep your population even stable. And it's it's going to take a while to wind that out. It takes about 25 more years. So we may be here talking about that, or somebody may be here talking about that in the near future.
Isn't it, Mr. Ratledge, is that a product of the demographics of our population?
It's all demographics.
Well, because if those green lines were more young people that were having children, that would bring that red line up.
Well, but that's what you would think.
Right.
But it
because
doesn't.
Our... Oh, yep. It doesn't.
It's down here. I'll show you a chart on that.
Right, okay.
Yep. So continue on this. When we're looking outward, though, we're the green line is kind of sliding down a bit for you from about 3,000 to about 2,000, but continuing through 2045 at least. And the so you're expected to get a something around 3,000 net in migrants a year. And you can see the population growth is also slowing, though, on an annual basis. And the natural growth is basically drops from 1,000 under 1,000 before in 2040 it starts to turn up again, because we killed all the boomers.
So, there you are.
So once we get the boomers out of the way, we'll get rid of all the troubles they've made over the last 40 years.
Okay.
Wow.
Now, you'll know something about on the building permit side, just to show you how broadly the crash was basically on that. We went from in the statewide 7,500 down to about 2,500, a loss of 5,000 permits a year. That's a lot of lots that are out there. that it'll take some time before you recover that. I just might add one thing. In the construction industry, you lost 12,000 people, and we have never recovered one of them. 12,000 people that are not working in the construction industry today that were working in 2005, 2006.
In the state.
In the state, not just down here. We'll get to Sussex in a second here.
Yeah, I can't.
Because I was going to say our building permits are.
Yeah, we're right back up.
Right.
Yeah. Well, next slide. There's Sussex County, and as you can see, that you came down what I would have considered a more natural rate down to about 1,200 a year by 2008, and now you start to see it's come back up, but it's still. About 50% below where it was at the time that everything was booming. Now the real question is whether that flattening out there will continue to flatten out, or will turn around again, say in 2018. We're not showing that at this point.
Your data is as of what month?
Let's see. This was as of the end of July.
So Todd, since then we've had
strong months, but it's still. I would say that's a true reflection.
Mm-hmm. We have a couple different sources. We've got federal sources for it, and we've got state sources for the information, so we're fairly secure on this particular point. But I just wanted, Sussex County has a habit of when you have a recession that you basically go down to a particular level and then you're flat for 5 years. In that order, not just in that, but in along a number of dimensions. And whereas the others tend to go down and stay down quite a bit longer. So everybody's kind of showing some growth, but we're right now at an extended high in the economy at this point. And our next, I would say, within the next 24 months, we're probably looking at some sort of recession. We're the second longest growth period ever in since 1944 now. We're at just about 100 months, and it's
So you're an economist too?
I am an economist.
Okay.
As well as a demographer.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I can play this game too.
Multi-talented.
Yeah.
Any stocks we should be buying? No. Is there?
Well, I could make. I lost my some of my options didn't do well the other day, okay. But
get that back to me later.
Okay, I mean it's actually a good guess on some of these things how the economy is going to respond, not only because of what's here right now, but as the structure of your population changes over time, and we'll talk about that in a second too. All right, this is just for fun. This is what the state looked like in 1960, where the boys are on the left, the girls are on the right, and the pink. And that's the number of thousands of people in each one of those age groups starting from 0 to 4. So at the bottom there, what you're looking at is the beginning of the baby boomers. And we've still got another period for them before they all show up. And you can see that they're much larger than anything that's ahead of them. All right, so what's happened to us over the number of years is that group is going to push forward. Whoops, next slide. You see there you are in 1980, and everything that group does affects us. Everything. We've had to build schools for the thing, we had to build houses for them, had to do all these different kinds. They'd buy furniture, they got married, whatever, and then send the kids to college, and then they're broke. But eventually, so go on to the next one. 2016, so you can see there the boomers are up there. They're right now the 53 to 70 ages at this point. And they're pushing through. And you can see underneath there where the 45, 49 group, and you see that there's a cut back in there. This is what we call the baby bust. So right now, there's not as many people coming up behind the boomers to replace them. That's why we're going to have some labor force issues along with the other things. The demand for housing will be lower than it would be when those people were going through the process. You can see the millennials are in that chart are from right now 14 to 34 in that group. But the most interesting thing is they're not having very many kids. That's because they all got school debt too, I suppose. But that's delays a lot of processes. We're unsure about what's going to happen, but we have to make a guess. Next one. Okay, and this is what we look at 2045. You can see before it looked like a pyramid, as somebody said once, it looks more like a beer can. with exception at the usual top 85 plus crowd, the guys are all dead and the women are still holding forth. So it's but that's been true forever. It's like I believe there should be a class action lawsuit in here somewhere.
Against the women?
Excuse me?
Oh.
That would be a hard one to take.
Well, they'll have all the money.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, and you can see at that point the millennials are at 45 to 49 and around that period. So the shape of these what ages are, it makes a big difference. And we can turn from that to another chart I've got. All right, that basically shows you where you are in terms of, on the left you've got under 20 people under 25, and the left, right you've got the 65 plus group. And you can see that the blue line is earnings, what their income is. And at the top is somewhere right between 45 and 54, you hit your peak earning period. That doesn't mean everybody does, but there's an awful a lot of people that do. And on average, that's where the peak is in the 45 to 54 age group. And then what happens is that starts down. So income start, the more that the older your population gets, the income is like basically continues to fall, even though you've added things like Social Security to it, as they hit 65 and so forth. But that doesn't make up for an income which may have been 80, 90, 100,000 when you were working. And also, basically, you can look under that wage and salary income, which is stuff, obviously it's not dividends and interest and things like that, it's on the yellow line, and you can see that that also starts to drop off as basically your wealth decreases, and we don't really have all that good of measures on that. And I guess the other one, expenditures also follow the same pattern that is spending in the economy. So the older your population is, the less they're actually spending. And what that does is has a problem of driving the entire economy too. So the more of them that are older, unless you've got a very odd sample, then it follows this kind of a pattern.
You don't know IG's wife on expenditures.
Yeah. We'll have to call the police. So here we are, this is the age distribution in 1980 for Sussex County. Now, it looks a little different than the other ones, but not all that different. Go on to the next one. In 2016, what do you see up there?
A lot of girls.
Well, you've got a huge chunk of them, that 50 to 54 age group, up to, it's basically the boomers that are basically in there, and they overwhelm everything else in the county. And so they're all pushing through the age distribution. You have a lot of them, and you're building more of them all the time as they come down here. Go ahead to the next one. And that's what we're forecasting as of 2045. So the biggest population at that point is actually 85 plus.
If I self-describe myself as a woman like they're doing nowadays, could I get into that pink slot and live longer?
You'd have to change your ways.
Yeah. Oh. Let's keep going.
Or not.
Or not, as the case may be.
Mr. Ratledge, is this national? Is this a national deal as well as Sussex? I mean, are we different?
No, it's not. It's more severe here for a problem I'll show you in a second.
Okay.
It's a question like you raised is who comes in here? Who are the in migrants that are coming in here? And it's a somewhat mixed picture, but not too mixed. Okay, this would drive you nuts. Okay, well, don't. Just look at the blue line. That's from 2015, and what I'm looking at is the age of the number of people by their ages who are in migrants. So if you follow that up from at the bottom in 75 plus, you'll see there's few of them, plenty of them here, but I mean in terms of new in migrants. And that goes up until it peaks somewhere between 60 and 55, which is when the bulk of your move-ins get. And a lot of that's because of retirement ages in D.C. From the federal government and other places of that nature where it's possible. And even here in Delaware where you can actually retire when you're about 40, 45, you're police or in some cases teachers and things of that sort. So you get a fair number of people retiring at that point. So then what it does, it drops off sharply to that 45, 40, 49, it kind of meanders through the thing, and then you get this big upshot at the end. Now, the only thing I can tell you about that is we've had a lot of issues at the state with respect to people moving to Cape Henlopen and Indian River because of the schools, and also for the treatment of special ed. And this is the only piece of evidence I have that even supports that hypothesis, although it's spoken widely about over here. And you can see it. It's not because of natural increase or anything when you start talking about school enrollment. It can change because of who the migrants are. Yeah.
It's because all the retirees are buying the houses. The younger generation's building the houses, and they're having the children.
Well, there's something at all the immigrants here. Obviously, I could go through and do the count, but there's a significant still number in there that are coming in, which are out of your 5,000 we say are in migrate. I always figure roughly 60% are the retiree class. The rest of them are supporting people who see that there are jobs around here.
Yeah, right.
But the jobs were killed just as fast down here, 2008 through 2010. Before they started to come back, and I would bet you that the builders around here are probably having problems finding labor at this point. I don't know. I haven't asked them, but it's an issue. All right, the other thing this leads to, remember the income issue, that I talked about on that other slide. You can see that Delaware, for the most part, since roughly 2000, 2002, 2000, really 2004, after the last recession, and in real per capita gross domestic product, were flat, really, for over 10 years. And now we've had just a little bit of bump back up here to move the 2016 numbers here. So income is an issue, and it's always going to be an issue when you get an older population dominating the scene. You have not fewer, but you're not getting big increases in the labor force that you normally would have seen.
And also in combination, the younger guys are leaving. I mean,
absolutely.
If our younger guys are staying here and the older ones are coming in, you would think it would be growing. But to your point, the older ones are retiring, coming here with less money. But it's also more problematic because the younger ones are leaving.
Yeah, well, I think there's both. There's a big, there's always, I didn't go to high school here. I left town when I was in ninth grade. So, but my colleagues, I came back here for a 50th reunion not too long ago. Actually, a long time ago. Many of them were had stayed here the entire time, but almost all of them from college went someplace down in Virginia or some of those different places at that point in time. So, you know, you get this, but the problem that we have here in the state, for example, if you look at the bottom lines, transfers, and basically what that includes largely is unemployment, Social Security, and Medicare. Those numbers are rising faster than the wage and salary numbers for the same reasons that I'm talking about here. What that does, because we don't tax most of those transfer benefits here in the state gets is losing revenue as we move through time. And so you might think that they'll get nervous and do something here one of these days.
Sure.
Might want to think about that. Continue on. This is the way, you notice we got this whole thing flattening on the household side, individual households, and a household basically is going to be the occupant of a house normally, or an apartment. And those are growing fairly well through 2025 still, but then definitely start to flatten. And coming up to some neighborhood in the 435,000 households, for the projection at least. And this is we got Sussex following a similar pattern. It's a little noisy down there coming out of the last recession, but it's coming up to about 2030. And then starts to turn over, and there's a number of reasons for this. Well, I'll come back to the particular point here is that these are once again income related issues. When you talk about the housing issue, it's an income related issue. All right, there's another one that comes out with this older population. You might have noticed that there's people like BB and Bay Health at Milford. What are they doing? They're building bigger and they're getting bigger. Well,
There's a reason. Because we have larger numbers of those. This is the probability that you'll end up in a hospital at any given point in time if you're a particular age. So I look over there and, well, I won't mention that. It starts to multiply and those things. And what that does is basically it shows you that people are spending more and more on healthcare and less on consuming things other than healthcare. And healthcare is, it has an effect on other people who would, if you were buying furniture or something like that or cars, you would find more of it in that area versus if you get spent on healthcare. So we're going to be doing a lot more of that over the next 30 years. The other issue here, and it's is this labor force participation. That means it's basically everybody who's over 16. There's a lot of 16 allowed to work, up to whatever the population is, and how many of those people are actually working. And you can see, for example, down in the millennial block, the 19 to 34, it's actually a little larger than that, that it actually hasn't been rising very much. It was 57% we're in, now it's 51 as of 2015. And you can see that it increases, and it really hasn't recovered as we've recovered in this particular age for that younger group. Either they're staying in college longer, or they're just not able to get work. It's hard to it's hard to figure out why they're not moving better. But look at the 50 to 64 group, for example. You're looking at 54.5% in the beginning, up to 57.3%. And then what happens is when that they go over the cliff at 65 plus, well, it is. Come on now. It's 12 percentage points of them, or 12% are in the A labor.
He's left.
I know I get at least one. Jeez. Okay, so it's a major shift that happens in there when people decide to retire. They get out of the labor force. Once they lose the labor force is a primary indicator of what that gross state of product is going to be and how much production you're going to get out of the state. And that affects incomes, affects a whole series of other kinds of things. So if you watch the papers, you'll see that periodically the governor is really concerned about health care costs. Very concerned, which he ought to be. Because he has a pretty big bill to pay. It's about $780 million a year for him to pay for his retirees and for his the people that work for the state. The other, this has got one of these things that's kind of confusing, but the key thing here, and this is one of the things that was in the other report that I read, was about the labor force. And he basically said this is all going to work okay because the labor force is going to turn around. You're losing, you got about 25,000 to 30,000 people that leave Sussex County every day to go work someplace else out of the county, either up to Kent County, even some drive up to Newcastle, some of them go down to Salisbury or Ocean City or whatever. And this is kind of just a place to play, I guess, for many of them. And you can, but the numbers are increasing, as you can see in the jobs by place of work. They're still marginal increasing in there. And you've got on the top of there, jobs of place of residence, the number of people are actually working, but they're not working necessarily here in the state. So it's there's some increase there. And that's one of the key things that's assumptions in the other report, that they were assuming that this was going to be corrected. And somehow or other going to stop the net commuting. I cannot find any reason to believe that.
What was your number on that's leaving every year?
It's every day.
Every day. What was it?
They live in Sussex and work outside of Sussex.
Right, but what was the number?
25 to 30,000.
Every day?
Every day.
Leave Sussex and go to
it. To work someplace else, either Kent, Newcastle.
Wow.
Out of how many thousands?
Well, you've got it's there. If you look at it right now, say 2020, go up to the top, jobs by place of residence. There's 100, and it's roughly 100 and say 10,000. It's a big number.
20%.
Yeah. And it's a big number, and that's just nature of business down here, and has been forever. And I just dealt, we're on a peninsula, and that's part of the reason why it's difficult to develop big industry or something of that sort down here. If they didn't have the beach, I'm not sure what we would do. And of course, that includes both part time and full time too. So it's a number you just have to remember that that does affect the overall income of the state to some degree.
But it's safe to say people are also coming in daily to work in Sussex from
Kent. No, these are net commuters. It's negative.
Okay. That takes that in. So it's worse.
Yeah. So it's
some are coming in, but there's more obviously
who are leaving. Yeah.
Right.
But the net number is 25.
Yeah, that's roughly 25, but it has a shallow increase over time, too, and it's been around for years. Then this is basically just looking at employment for the last 16 years and what it's looked here, and, you know, it's been marginally increasing from 2001 to basically 2008, then it slowed down a little bit, and then by 2012 it started to pick up steam again, and it's still increasing slowly. Yeah.
It looks like the water. That's
the ocean. I did that purposely. It's not seasonally adjusted, so it would wave like that.
I thought maybe one of your grandkids did it.
No. And here's the other thing that's good about it. You see the yellow line up there, or you want to call it orange, of the sectors that were that are growing in the state, and it's countywide. It's all in healthcare. So it's not surprising, once again, that you've got that big bulge of people who are in that vulnerable population for getting sick, and then it's a good job match. It may not be the best income for the lower end of the distribution of those kinds of jobs, the aides and nursing aides and so forth that are in that, but it's still it's a fair amount of that, and you can bet BB and Milford in particular will be hiring new people. But I also know over Nanticoke as well are doing some new things.
You need a line on there for lawyers.
What do we need them for?
Just to find out how good
a question.
I was thinking how good they're doing.
I was thinking undertakers.
Could be the same line.
Yeah, same line. That's a good line. I like that.
Sit right here. You know, I can hear all that.
I can hear it.
Oh, you heard it. we're almost done with you. This is a chart which you can't read, but you weren't intended to read it. It shows you on the left-hand side age groups by 5 years. Thank you. And for males on the top and females on the bottom. And that you've got, this shows you the number of people we got each year. And what we basically do when we're doing our forecasts, because there's some things we know, and we know down to the fourth decimal point. We know how likely people are to have a child, and we know how likely they are to die. Okay? So we can compute from any starting population in any one of those groups, how many of them will make it to the next year, and based upon the females in that group, how many kids they're likely to have. And over the years, it's like the 2.5 is the silliest number I ever heard. It's closer to about 1.7 in terms of kids at this point. And it's a, but they may have just been looking, they might have been counting some of the rental properties that they had there in the summer or something or other. But the but we know exactly what those will be. The only number that's always a problem to obtain is really, really good migration numbers. Really good. We can get good totals, but it's hard to tell, getting back to your question, precisely what the out-migrants and the in-migrants look like. I can find what the in-migrants look like from one set of data. I have to go to all 50 states to find out whether or not they've got anybody in their state that came from Delaware the previous year. I can get those numbers, but the numbers are very suspect because they're small in number, just because of the way the sampling is done. It's all sample. We've been able to do that to try to get some decent migration. IRS gives us, we can tell, match your income tax return from 1 year to next, so we can find out how many people came to Delaware from someplace else the year filing period the year before, and we can tell from that roughly what the incomes are Not because there's a lot of things that are not covered in AGI. I mean, it's an adjusted gross income. And the other thing, the number of exemptions, that gets confounded if you're over 65, of course, because you get an extra one, and for blind and whatever. So those are, you know, every source that you look at has some, is compromised in some way. But it's better than no source in most cases. And the one thing since I've been in this business, which has been a long time, the one thing to do, if you're going to forecast often. So when she's talking about the population consortium, and by the way, I'm from the University of Delaware, if you don't know. I'm the director of the Center for Applied Demography and Survey Research. So we get together regularly on these things, 5 or 6 meetings, and then come up with a set for the year. So if you don't like the numbers this year, wait till next year. and we should have, by that time, I'm hoping we'll have a good handle on the day trippers and with the people who are in hotels and motels, campgrounds. And I think you've already seen basically these numbers. The ones numbers I would look at for that might be of interest would be the top line, which shows roughly how many units we think would probably be built of some kind here, from where we are with 131,000 to 166 over the next a number of years. It may not be, maybe you'd like 100,000 built. I don't. I'm willing to bet the other side of the downside of that number. And then the occupied numbers, this is where the whole thing gets a little bit dicey on the rent and sale and the other categories. And that's nearly 10,000? That's nearly 10,000 units, so we're not sure what's going to be done with them. Now, I would bet that a good chunk of those are going to be in sale on estate sales.
I missed what you
an
said.
An estate though. Sale.
Of the 10,000 what?
10,000 units. Okay. 10,000 units there that we can't categorize either seasonal or rent for sale as being something we can determine. Just it's an other category, and it means a Census Bureau couldn't determine it by knocking next door or whatever on the thing. So that's a wild card. But I'm betting because of the number of ages of folks that moved in here, and you have to remember the big migration started in 1985. So in here, so that group, if they came in and is significantly older than they were in 85. So you're going to have a number of those that are going to be leaving us.
There's one place you're not going to go. You're not going to go to Murder Vehicle Department and find out how many people's here. Because I run up down the road many times to see they got foreign tags on out of the state. They don't have no dollar tag to have Virginia and Pennsylvania all of them.
Oh, yeah, they do. They play a lot of games with that because I have a good colleague, unfortunately, she just passed, that lives in Maryland, and she carries Delaware tags, though. But she's marginally here 6 months in a day.
Well, I know for a fact that some of them lives in the houses that don't even buy dollar tags.
Yeah, well, it just depends on whether they can't change their permanent.
But it's hard to find out what the statistics is when you can't even find out what state they live in.
It's an issue. We have all their records, though. It's hard to tell from those records precisely. You'd have to find a Delaware address which had a Virginia license, and it wouldn't be in the file. So the only ones we're going to have access to is the ones that have got a Delaware license, who happen to have a second home in Virginia, and we can tell that because of your assessment files. So, all right, and so we did our calculations, and we came up with 121,000 for the seasonal population only. And that's was based, as I said earlier, on a couple of major studies that were done about 5 years ago, and I'd be more than willing to do a study for you. It'll cost you about $400,000 on what the that would improve those things. So
that's not. Your numbers.
the issue is always to go relook at these things periodically, like once a year. And don't leave things set. So you're working with a 2018 number, which is based upon 2010 data. So it's a continual process. And But we like your data. Your people, you are very good for us, and we have every we know where every single plot of land is in this county. We know what's on it, and we watch to see whether it sells or not. And so always remember, we're looking. We're watching you.
Mr. Atlas, can I, just on that note that you talked about, that you got to go back and revisit the data periodically, how much percentage change do you see when you go back and revisit 1%. Off your projections?
1%.
Usually okay. 1%. We figure that generally if you don't touch them, if you're out 10 years, you should be within 3 percentage points. Now, if you put a 2008-style recession into thing, you know, that blows them up. You know, because you were figuring from 2005, we would have contributed about 5,000 in migrants, and you dropped under 3. So you lost about, I don't know, 8,000 to 10,000 people that would have been here if we hadn't had that recession.
If we didn't put that wall up, we'd be all right, right?
That's right. Put the wall up.
Oh, Lord.
So this stuff is all fine. I think it's interesting, but I'd like to leave with the fact what you just need to keep an eye on the age distribution, and you know what people are going to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you for the use of your...
Sir, before you walk away, sir.
Oh, we got a question, Mr. Arlett.
He's always got a question.
I mean, we're going to get a copy of this. Yes, Todd, or do you know of this? To George's point earlier, I mean, this is invaluable information because it's data. And then, you know, we from there can get a direction of where we need to go based on this data, right?
Yeah.
That's why it's here. So do you have a recommendation? I'm curious, or maybe you can get back to us, based on, in summary, your detailed analysis of all these numbers as it relates to the age groups and the incomes and the needs based on this as it relates to a land use plan. And I got to tell you, I think that could be invaluable as it relates to decision making and land use plans and zonings and a lot of things.
Say yes.
And I would love to get a summary of recommendations.
I'll send
from,
you one.
Mr. Arlett, I would say too, if you look at pages 8 and 9 of the plan, there's implications of population growth. So that's one of the things that, based on Mr. Ratledge's information, that McCormick Taylor, as I said, when they took into consideration not only their own calculations but Spiegel's and then the population consortiums, came back with the implications of that and what we need to do with this plan and how that impacts the information on the plan.
But is this information coming from you? I mean, these implications?
Yeah. Based on the information, because he sits on the population consortium. We started with those numbers. We just need to update the numbers in this chapter with the set 2017 numbers. But that's where these implications came from, was the information provided based on the population projections.
Normally, on something like this, you would at least look at what's a 10% variation at the end basically mean from you as a body that's got to make regulations and things of that sort. Because you could say there are going to be other numbers there, but I mean, what I'm looking at is the long-term trends, trying to zero out the recessions, which I know will be here, and there's no question about that. But until you get this whole crowd of the older folks out of here over time, of course, you're going to be then sitting in there, somebody at the university is going to be here telling you something like this. Well, in any event, so they're going to continue to have a major impact on that. And the we don't know yet that group that's coming up, which I call them the baby bust, how many of those are actually going to have the same set of tastes that the people that have moved down here in the first place? Are they just going to be, there's fewer of them, we know that, and that's nationally, there are fewer of them. But the how much that will impact you, I would say you'll probably know in another year.
It's going to. Questions?
And Burton, two, and I've been. I'm back to the seasonal count.
Yeah.
Right? My sister's 45 years old, lives in Baltimore, right? And she bought a house in Indian River Inlet. Her plan is to take a 20-year mortgage, rent it for 15 years. She comes down. She's got 5 years left. And she owns a home, right? How are we counting her?
You would have, we have a, that's a, it's a very interesting thing. So, because if you look over a long period of time, back to say 1980, 1970, you will see periods of time where the number of sales of the seasonal homes actually disappear. They had one, the one period, I think it was 1990, I'm just guessing now, that we had a lot fewer seasonal units, but we had more permanent population. In other words, there are people that are retiring into their vacation homes. That's one option that they have. And so it's not always a construction option. As when I was talking about the estate sale, we're going to have more and more and more houses that are going to come on the market is because of those estate sales, say where the kids live in California, someplace like that. They're not going to come down here and use that. They'll put a thing up for sale. So you get that kind of thing, too. So it's hard to say, but I mean it would always be a good thing to come down here and retire after you've owned the place, right?
Yeah, but I guess for 15 years it's this calculation, right? And when she comes down, it's a different calculation because in the 15 years it's going to be renters and et cetera.
It'll be seasonal population. She will not. She'll be the regular population.
She'll be the regular population in 15 years or 10
right.
or you know.
What it goes from 8 to 1 is what you're saying.
Correct.
That's absolutely true.
It's hard to. And I think that's happening a lot. Right. Person comes down, buys
a
place.
No question about it.
Rents it for a little bit, and then says, "Hey, I'm retiring early, or I'm retiring on time, and I'm now not renting it weekly, or." I'm now a permanent person.
Well, a lot of times what does happen is you have a reduction in the seasonal units. That creates a demand on the other side for more homes.
Okay.
Right. That's
right.
So the rest in the opposite side you can overbuild the second home area.
Right.
Okay. And that will increase the vacancies and decrease the rents. So you get those simple
kinds. Or increase the rentals.
Increase the number of rentals, that's what I mean.
Right,
so that'll
yeah.
decrease the value of those rentals generally. Other things held constant because there's more of them. People will compete for how much they'll charge for them. So it's the market always wins.
And that's why we look at the numbers annually because that change will get picked up every year. So there'll be a few of those. That's why the state looks at the population projections annually because we'll pick up a couple of those that go from seasonal to permanent.
Yeah, but you won't know when my sister moves there, right? Because you know what I mean? You won't be able to pick that up because
won't in the next year pick it up?
I don't know.
The next census.
The next census.
Well, also,
no. The next ACS, the American Community Survey, is done every year.
Okay.
And we would pick it up at that point that there were more households, full-year households in, and there might would be maybe one less seasonal property.
Okay, so that's plugged into your number.
Oh yeah, every year.
Okay,
yeah,
right.
That's counted.
All right. Here's my second question: are we, if we're looking at planning for the future, right? Is everything that you showed us today any? Are we different than say Naples, Florida, right? I mean,
Florida's got a lot of problems right now.
Well, do we have? I mean, are other coastal towns right? Do we have a larger number of that beer can pyramid than other places that we would compare ourselves to?
Well, the beer can thing practically that says you're going to make. There are going to be major adjustments coming.
Right.
Okay. Because and what they've had down in Florida, though, you know, they're overbuilt in at this point, and yet the number of older people to retire down there is going to start falling.
Is that the same here?
I mean, I think so.
Okay.
But it's likely to be subtle, and it'll be subtle over 20-year periods. Not that you can't make adjustments. You'll know it when you can't rent your places so easily as you did last year.
Right. Well, if we're using ideas from somewhere else,
yeah.
right? We're looking at other planned communities that are working at trying to plan for this different population. Are we way different than a lot of other places?
No, I think you're looking at the same kind of data. It just happens to be more exaggerated in these beach communities than it is in Kent County or even Newcastle.
Okay.
So it's that. So.
So we're fairly typical for coastal resort counties throughout the country.
Yeah, that it's been dominated by people that are retiring there.
People want to go to
the coast.
Yeah.
Move to the coast, right?
Yep. No doubt about it.
Everywhere.
The only thing I would. More questions, right. questions.
No. And that's known as supply and demand, right?
Yeah.
Since you're standing here, can you tell me how much corn's going to be about 6 months from now?
Cars?
Corn. He wants to know about corn.
Go ahead, sir. Just.
Well, it's important issues, agriculture.
Sam, we're not talking about corn prices here. We're talking about something different.
If I could tell that, I wouldn't be standing here.
And that's known as commodities, right?
Well, corn's also, I don't know. What would happen if they changed the ethanol law? How about that one? Like importing ethanol? What do you think would happen to corn prices?
Well, corn, in the past 10 years, has gone from $8 down to $3 now. So try to be a farmer and do that.
We're getting ready to go to lunch. Well, anything else, sir?
The only thing I would encourage you to do, the smart growth thing, what I always say on those things, and I don't know what smart growth is either.
Nobody does, and
nobody will, because that's the way it sounds. True. But the thing I always say is, you look at the initial impact of what you're going to do, like if you're going to build another 200 units or whatever, and then you start looking where the secondary impacts. What does it do for the roads and so forth? Is there an issue there with erosion? Do I have a problem with flooding in this area? There's other issues that you need to consider. You can't just take that top thing that you're trying to do. That's the only thing I would suggest for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Appreciate
it. Very informative.
Anything else from council? Okay, we're going to break now for lunch, I guess, for a half hour versus 45 minutes.
No need to ask me because you want to go to lunch.
Pardon me?
I said no need to ask me what you want to do.
I said anything else from council?
Mike, do we need a motion for a break or no?
No.
For this?
No.
Okay, I have no idea.
All right. Well, you told me shut up.
I did not tell you to shut up. I did not.